Hello, welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship is the first week of Advent, which starts our wait for the coming of the Christ child. Let's listen.
Well, I really like this time of year because often families attempt to take Christmas card photos. And I say attempt because families don't always, you know, especially if you have kids, play along when you're taking a Christmas card photo. The heart, though, is in the right place. You want to capture for even just a second what the perfect family might look like, because then you can immortalize that in a snapshot and send it to your friends and say, look, this is us on a good day. But how often does the mess of family simply pour out, even when you're trying to take the perfect family Christmas card photo? There's a blog going around called Christmas Card Fails, where you see these families trying the best that they can, and yet the messiness of life simply pours out. I thought I'd show you a couple and see if you can figure out what's going on, especially with this first one. Let's get that one up on the screen. I don't know what was said. I don't know what made this poor child so mad, but I'm thinking they're not going to get the family photo that they're looking for with his sort of anger. So you deal with that. You deal with anger and frustration of kids, but you also deal with them being left out. Yeah, who's been left out before? He's not going to be smiling for any Christmas card photos. He's feeling like, I'm off to the side. This is not happening for me. Or maybe you've gone to the beach before and said, we're going to go take it somewhere special, and we'll go to a certain location, but it still doesn't always work out. I think he just got tired. He just got tuckered out, kind of fell asleep right there. They have the whole display, everything's ready, but you know, I guess it took too long. Or you can say, we're going to try to do a themed card, and this theme, as you can tell, is joy. Santa just doesn't know what to do. He's just opening his hands going, these kids are screaming, I'm not sure what to do, let's get the next family in here. Or finally, I thought I'd show you our Christmas card from last year. What I especially like is that a hug or is that a choke? I'm not exactly sure, you know, but Riley seems kind of happy, kind of calling out for help, but, you know, we'll see. We sometimes think that Christmas and the Christmas season has to be perfect. You want to find the perfect gift, or cook the perfect meal, have the perfect family memories of this season. But what these cards remind ourselves of is that perfection isn't actually attainable. We're all a little bit of a mess, and that's okay. And yet the pressure to make a perfect season can feel so big this time of year. What I want you to feel is permission to simply let you and your family be yourselves, to enjoy one another in the midst of the messiness. Because what, after all, is Christmas really about? Christmas is about God coming down into our world because of our messiness. Not in spite of it, not simply to say, we need to fix all the imperfect things happening in the world, but no, God sees us in love, in our imperfection, and God chose to come down into the world in the person of Jesus. This is the good news. This truly is the Christmas message. And this is a message of renewal, where God sees the state of our world, sees the state of our families, and says, I'm going to come and bring renewal. I'm going to come into the world and bring peace. And so our scripture today, we're going to study the response of Mary. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, is given this news that she is going to become pregnant. And not only that, but she will give birth to the Savior of the world. Today, we're going to study what Mary's response to this life-altering news was, what would your response have been? I mean, if you were in Mary's shoes, and if an angel appeared to you out of nowhere, completely unexpected, and said, you are going to become pregnant, and not only that, but you are going to give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world, what would your response have been? Would it have been disbelief? Saying, God, there's no way that can happen. That is simply too outside of my realm of possibility. There's no way I can believe that. Would your response have been anger? God, that's not in my 5-year plan. That's not what I was thinking of for my life. God, you can't simply do this to me. Or would your response be joy? Well, we are going to study Mary's response that she will give birth to Jesus. And do you know what the first thing is? Well, the first thing Mary does when she receives this news, she sings a song. She sings a song of response. And Mary's song has become known as the Magnificat. The Magnificat is Latin for the first word of the song, and the song will be our basis for the sermon this morning. Now, as a disclaimer, I will not be singing this song. You will have to use your imaginations to imagine how it might have sounded for Mary singing this in response to the news that she had just been given by this angel. We will simply be reading it, but put yourself in Mary's shoes. So Mary hears from this angel, realizes she's going to give birth to Jesus, and she sings this: my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Okay, let's stop there. To magnify something means to lift something up in praise or honor. And so for Mary to say, my soul magnifies the Lord, it means that her initial response to this news is to worship, is to lift God up. Say, God, I am praising you right now because of the news that I have received. Yes, Mary is overjoyed. She rejoices. And the reason is simple. She rejoices because God is going to use her in God's plan of bringing redemption to this world, in God's plan of bringing peace, bringing a Savior into the world. Mary is overjoyed that God is going to use her as a piece of this plan. In fact, Mary views this whole situation as an example of God's favor resting on her. Now, I don't know if I'd have quite the same response. I mean, would you? If you were Mary and God is saying this is what is going to happen to you, God never asked you if you wanted to be pregnant. God never asked you if you were okay putting your reputation on the line as an unwed teenage mother, which is what people would perceive her to be. How often do we say to God, God, that's not my plan? When you sense that God is doing something in your life, but it's out of the ordinary. It's not what you were thinking was going to happen or had planned for. And you say, God, that's not a part of my plan. Mary's response is different. Mary simply says, the work is going to be hard. People may whisper behind my back. My fiancé Joseph may leave. She doesn't know. And what will her family think? Yes, the work that is ahead of her will be hard. But in spite of all these things, Mary is overjoyed because God has chosen to work through her life. Yes, Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. Her song continues. She says, surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him which means this great awe and respect and reverence from generation to generation. How beautiful is that opening line? Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, which has happened. In every generation since Mary first sung these words, people have looked upon Mary to say, wow, she is blessed. Blessed for bringing the Savior into the world. This portion of Mary's song encourages us to ask a couple of questions. Questions like, when I sense that God wants to use my life, when I sense that God is working in me, do I share the same response as Mary? Am I overjoyed that God picked me? How willing am I? Or what is my general attitude towards God in those moments? I've noticed when I get that sense that God is tugging on my heart, or that the Holy Spirit is pushing me, gently nudging me into a different direction than I expected I was going to go, or that I really wanted to go, that I can find a million reasons why it won't work. I can find many excuses to say, God, that's not a part of my plan. That's not what I was thinking was going to happen this Christmas season. That's not where I saw my next year going. God, these are the reasons why that won't work. But Mary doesn't do that. Mary gets this news, this life-altering news, knowing that her life will never be the same, and she simply says, people are going to call me blessed because God has chosen to work through me. Well, what if we turned our doubts and our skepticism of God using our everyday lives and turned those into praise towards God? Saying, God, I don't know exactly how this is going to work, and I'm a little bit nervous about giving over my time and my schedule and my life to you, but what if we turned that around towards praise? To say, God, thank you for using me. God, I'm overjoyed that I feel you tugging on my heart. God, thank you for being a part of my life. That is what Mary does here. The second half of Mary's song is quite different from the first half of Mary's song. And as soon as we read it, you're going to say, David, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And there's a reason for that. The second half of our song talks about what Jesus will accomplish in the world when Jesus comes into the world. But you're going to read it and say, it's all past tense. It's talking about what God has already done, and so how can it be talking about what Jesus will do when Jesus is born into the world? Well, the reason for this is that in the Greek language, they have a tense that we do not have in English. They have a tense that's called the aorist tense. And the aorist tense on the screen expresses what is timelessly true. This is a tense in Greek that's not about past, present, or future, but instead it can be any one of those because it just simply speaks to the timeless truths about whatever it's speaking about. Now, we don't really have that same thing in English, and yet when you read this, it's going to seem like it's all in the past tense, but what it's meant to convey is that everything you're about to read are timeless truths that are possible only because Jesus is coming into the world. This is what Jesus is going to accomplish in our world today. Here's the second half of Mary's song. Mary sings, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Okay, as you can see, Mary's song is not all about Christmas goodwill and good cheer. No, this is a bit of a different way to end her song, especially from how it started. I want to highlight three contrasting statements that Mary makes in this song. The first is that God is going to show his strength by the scattering of the thoughts of the proud. Second is that God is going to lift up the lowly by bringing down the powerful. And finally, God fills the bellies of the hungry while sending the rich away empty-handed. This is an unusual Christmas text, isn't it? Surely this is not what we expect Mary to be singing about when she's given the news that she will give birth to the Savior of the world. When we think of this Christmas text, we think about donkeys and inns and angels. We don't think about this. So why is Mary singing these words? Well, the answer to that is that Mary sings about God reversing the unjust power structure of the world that she lived in. You see, for Mary, the Christmas message was not simply about giving or receiving toys and gifts. It wasn't simply about getting together with your family and singing carols and sharing cookies. I'm sure Mary would say all of those are good things. They're meaningful parts of the Christmas season. And yet, when Mary first received this news, none of those things were in existence yet when you thought about Christmas. No, for Mary, she understood Christmas to be Jesus coming into the world because the world desperately needed a Savior. You see, she looked around her world, and she saw pain. She saw hurt. She saw the messiness that we all experience in our lives. And so for her, she said, God is coming into this world to redeem this world, to fix this world. And so she sings about that, sings about how God is taking the current unjust power structures that she saw that left out the lowly, that created the hungry, all of these things, and said, God's going to reverse all of that. And God will do so through the person of Jesus. The earliest Christians viewed Christmas as the news that the world desperately needed a Savior, and that God was coming into the world to be that Savior. You see, Mary's song is a reminder that God is entering into the mess of humanity and bringing forth a life-altering change to our world. So a question, then, that we should ask ourselves during this Advent season is, are you in tune with the song? I wonder if you hear it playing in the distance. I wonder if you hear the song that has echoed for 2,000 years since Mary first sung these words. It is a song that has reverberated through the generations. It is a song that's been sung as a proclamation for standing up for the poor of the world. It's a song about God bringing renewal to the broken. It's God humbling the proud. Yes, Mary's song is a song about God's eternal justice, and it is sung by every person who chooses what is right over what is simply convenient. It's a song that this world got exactly what it needed in a Savior. There's power in a song, isn't there? When a group of people like we are today join our voices together towards a common sound and a common cause. When we join our voices together with this song, with Mary's song, we sing of God's eternal justice. What you're hearing right now is Solomon Keel's rendition of the Magnificat. And as we hear this rendition of Mary's song, we ask ourselves, are you in tune with the song? You see, we are out of tune when we turn this holiday simply into an infomercial on commercialization, simply getting what we need of this world. But we are in tune with this song when this Christmas season turns towards the lowly and the downtrodden. When we focus not just on our needs, but the needs of our fellow man. And when we humble our hearts before God and remember our proper place before God. Yes, let us ask ourselves this Advent season, are you in tune with Mary's song? The work that Jesus started 2,000 years ago continues today. And that work is the Christmas season marking a shifting of priorities into what God is planning to accomplish in our world. So let us get in tune with that message.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.